right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast. A Jay Bird, a Jim Bird. How you doing?
Jim Bird. Hey, Steve, we're doing great. I am sitting, just to the left of me is Musky Shop owner Jim Stewart in the flesh.
Hey, everyone. How's it going, man?
Back-to-back week special guest.
This is
already got a really, really alive feel to it tonight.
It does.
Live from the Musky Shop Studios here in Minocqua, Wisconsin.
Where the magic happens
every week, folks. It is the magical Musky Shop Studios. We have been out grinding some more. I'm not a big internetter, but if you guys are internetter, Jay's been posting pictures. We've been shooting videos for Musky Shop TV. Been getting them Northwoods hogs, Jay, wouldn't you say?
Fishing has been so surprisingly great.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking the area because, I mean, we're catching some true giants, and we're having some great action days. It's just been spread out. Everybody that we've been taking in the boat has caught fish, I think. Every guest has caught fish.
We went out and
how cool is that?
Cool. That's how cool it is. We actually got to go out with Mr. Pete Mina yesterday.
We did.
That was fun.
That was.
Pete that was a blast.
He's a wild man. He has the biggest boat I've ever seen in my life.
23 feet?
Yep.
300 horsepower, four stroke. It sounds like a Ferrari when he starts.
It sounds pretty cool. It really does.
That thing is like Ferrari red, which is sort of cool. It's strange, but it's like
biggest electronics I've ever seen too.
Do you think Pete Mina sleeps in a car that looks or a bed that looks like a race car? I hope so.
Like
one of those kids' beds. I'll call him and ask. But anyway, his boat is awesome. We had a lot of fun. I've never really had the opportunity to fish in Hayward, which was neat. You know, fish some of the classic Hayward waters. But that was good stuff. But we've actually... I was in the truck with Jambalaya on the way back here, the tube screamer himself. And I said... I said to him, my perception of the Northwoods has changed in the last 3 weeks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just the quality of fish is way higher than I expected. The quantity of fish is off the chain. And I think there's some good ones out there for people that are willing to do the work. I mean, it just really has been shocking because, you know, my perception was home of the 35-incher. But there are 45 inches. There are good fish all over the place that are untapped. I mean, for you podcast guys, I'm saying this because I looked at my phone. We don't talk current events too often, but I looked at my phone and I open it up and it says Canadian Border Agency going to go on strike. So I mean, as we speak, it's like
I didn't know that.
Yeah, breaking. NBC says Canada border strike to begin Friday. Hope you can get back your deposit. I don't know. I don't even want to crawl into that rabbit hole too much, but just a heads up, if you're looking at Canada, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Not sure. You know, it's just something to look at. I guess they're having a strike. Whatever. If you're planning that trip, make sure you plan accordingly and keep an eye on your travel plans. But if you're thinking about tackling fish in the North Woods and you're a podcaster, and we know you are, if you're listening, you're obviously a podcaster. If you're willing to do things in a different fashion, you're going to have different results than everybody you're hearing about up here.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I mean, if you slow things down, and Jim, we were talking earlier, I think the key to our success up here has been our pace and boat control.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. We've been fishing for about 3 weeks, and
I can hear it in our voices, too.
Yeah,
we sound like we've been... Day 48.
And the creaking in the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
You can hear that. Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot from you just riding in the boat and just, you know, you can always take little things from different people, but I've learned a lot just a way to fish differently, and we've had a lot of success, not trying to toot our own horns, but, man, we've caught a lot of fish and a lot of really nice fish up here, so it's been fun.
I learn something every time I go fishing, I think. I mean, your boat control is great, Steve. Fishing with Pete Mina yesterday,
That's
I've never fished with Pete Mina. Okay, I caught a 40-incher. Yeah. Roughly, we didn't put him on a bump board or anything like Pete that, obviously.
Him, right? Yeah, Pete bumped.
But yeah, Pete netted my fish. I mean, that was mm-hmm. like, darn, you know, that is pretty dang cool. Man.
Yeah. I wish Pete
his boat control is off the charts amazing. Yeah. I mean, I was right in front of a couple of his electronics watching what he was doing when we were hitting weed lines, and that was
I wish Pete
he's methodical,
netted,
you know.
I wish he would have netted my fish.
The one that got away, folks. The one that got away.
Pete Mana, the worst net man in the business. I'm teasing. We have one beak hook that popped off of me on it. Pete, is anybody going to net this thing? Pete's just there's a walking boss too coming back slower than dirt. Is actually
slow,
I think
slow down there, Steve. You got to have fun with those things.
So this is the best part.
It's the best part. Get the clam.
Get the clam. I'll say that, man. I think I talked about last week, but you know, I know a net's not something you buy all the time. But if you're looking for net advice, I'm digging the clam. We had the Clam Jam 87 yesterday on Pete's boat. I've been enjoying the clam net. I know it's different, but it's worth a look if you're in the market for a net and you're like, I mean, the price is good, and I like the mesh in it. To think of anything else is that has a really good mesh because it's so easy to get fish out. I mean, it's just like...
Yeah, you can't get... The hooks don't penetrate that and get into the mesh where you got a disaster. So
yeah, spun
and it's got that
fish.
Cradle in the bottom of the bag. Mm-hmm. So they're a really nice net.
So that if you're looking for a net, give her a look. Like I said, I was, you know, I was on the fence. I always tell you guys straight out. Hold on, if you guys listen closely, you can hear Fred from the Musky Shop vacuuming.
Anyway, can we get a live mic out there, Steve?
No, it's live. This is live as it gets, folks. There might be a Hoover.
Yeah. Steve, tell him. Can we talk about that monster you caught this week?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
I was talking about nets. I don't talk about fish.
Oh, nets are amazing.
But anyway.
Those clam
like
nets
said,
are.
Yeah, not
the thing
to,
with those, how many fish do we put in the clam net? You know, we fished with some different nets when we started, you know, week one, I think. We went over to that clam, and it's like.
Well, I did.
The fish don't spin in that.
They don't spin, but the only reason I'm digging it is, like, I have a newfound respect for how crazy the Wisconsin fish can be. You know, and it's just like they fight a little bit different than any.
Yeah, you were
fish.
Talking about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're head shakers. They're thrashers. You know, instead of making big long runs or anything like that, it's maybe not a speed fight. It's more of a they're just going ballistic. That extra wide hoop is what I sort of dug because we get so many questions about solo netting. If you're a solo netter, check it out. You know, just because the dimensions of it seem to be a little bit easier to get one that's going crazy. You know, that was what I noticed is like it's a little more forgiving. So for all the guys that are looking, what do you hell do for solo netting? Try the clam. But no, dude, it's been I mean, Jay's been getting out like Jim. We've all been getting nice fish. And it just everything we were saying it last week, it just runs counter to everything that you hear about Northwoods fishing on the regular. You know, I've watched videos of people go, it's not as good as it used to be. And it's like, shut up.
Home of the 32s.
Learn how to fish. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'll help you out.
We haven't seen many 32s. I mean, you know, we're getting some mid-30-inch fish occasionally, but they're usually on a tail end of a day where we've got a, you know, nice mid-40s or something.
Well, it'll be
cool. It's just
been
fantastic.
I'm excited about the videos coming out from what we've been doing because it's just like quality. And quantity, you know, I'm not working for the Board of Tourism up here, but like I said, it's on my radar now. Just in the grand scheme of things, it's probably the cool thing with like Canada not being accessible in the month of July. You know, typically I would be crossing the border and just sort of looking at Wisconsin in the rear view. But if you're a serious angler and you're willing to grind a little bit and you're willing to do things different, there's some freaking good fish, man. Some real good fish. The videos are going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, this week's video that just came out, it's got your, it was a 45, 46 incher, I think. And that was a neat fish because.
Lancham.
Yeah, fairly shallow. It was, it was kind of a throwback kind of situation. You use a Lancham slow glide bait.
Well, that fish, what it was.
Tap, 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 pause, bam, hit it.
It's one of these rare, occurrences. I call it the nature cast, where you're just thrown out into the middle of nowhere. We had seen some bait fish disturbance and was able to get that fish to eat a lynching, which was cool, which is, you know, again, does everybody need a $100 glide bait? No, but if you're a serious glide bait guy or you want to have, that's the weird thing, dude, well, is on that bait, is it's probably the best beginner glide bait I've ever seen. Like, it's probably...
Now, you do a good tutorial on it and show how easy it is with, you know, the handle, half turns of the handle.
Yeah.
And how that thing responds, it's like, it doesn't get any easier than that.
But that's my problem. I know, it's like I said, I'm not saying if you're a beginner, you need to pop $100 on a glide bait. But if you're if you can afford it, do it. I mean, I know you can buy a lot of baits for that, but... Just make I every time I'll say this. My rule with the lynchum is I check my knot before I put it on.
You know? Right. Well, occasionally there's high end price baits that come out that are awesome. This would be one of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's not one of those. It's not a hype bait. They've been around for a long time. So anyway, check it out. I dig them.
I was just gonna say. We saw that kind of you know, there's something schooling up. There's something pushing bait fish. Uh-huh. What do you want to throw? Something high in the water column.
Yeah.
You put that bait on so fast, turned the boat like 5 feet to the right, made a pitch shot over him, twitch, pause, and he was on. It was just a cool scenario. Because that doesn't always happen that way, you know, when you see bait fish, you know, that are getting moved.
That's another thing, man. If you see, there is no harm at throwing at a disturbance. We've made that work a couple times up here, which that's low hanging fruit, you know. It just is, but like you see, like we saw a push of bait fish, you know, a couple times. Whereas like maybe they're not feeding, but like if bait fish or forage are getting ran and you see surface activity, man, it's always worth that cast.
Absolutely.
Just launch it. Sometimes you can't get close enough, but man, I got lucky on that where I winged it in the neighborhood close enough, and he was there, you know, which was cool. So, but yeah, it's been good on that front. What other stuff has been interesting? Whale tails is something that I learned about, which is cool. If you haven't seen the whale tails, it's like the world's biggest grub. That's sort of fun. I dig it. It's a different bait. I was just trying to think of anything different that we've done that is sort of weird that maybe some people don't have in their repertoire.
Well, some of the Livingston stuff we were using yesterday is that was my first time using those vipers.
Yeah,
the big viper. That thing's amazing.
Well, me and Pete were filming in Tennessee, and I think I called you and said, dude, like, we need these. They're cool.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And Jim said, cool. The big viper is what's scary.
Yeah.
That thing is a big bait, and it moves a lot of water. There'll be a video out there very shortly talking about that thing. But if you've not seen them, they're already available at Muskie Shop, which is cool. But that is a big old honking bait that is different. Again, that's another, like, I was talking with Pete in regards to it. That's another thing that's like a really good pseudo glider or easy glide bait to work with, the half turns of the reel as well. But like straight retrieve, it's a good bucktail alternative. So,
yeah,
that would be it. But.
Well, I'm for next week's video, next Tuesday, we've got a good one coming out. We went out with Al Frost.
Frosty,
who guides at the Muskie Shop. Five fish day. Not day, afternoon.
Afternoon. Yeah.
These are all afternoon trips.
He's good.
Yeah.
He is good.
Oh, man, that was cool. Put us on.
I'm not kidding you.
Yeah. Jim, you got a great one. Steve, you got a hybrid towards the end of the day.
Yep.
Pretty little tiger. LT, that was cool. Gray.
Yep.
Fun day.
Fun day.
I mean, Frosty would kind of, you know, Steve would start wearing down. He's the youngest out of all of us. He'd start wearing down, and Frosty'd just point at the lake, cast.
Cast. Dude.
Pick it up.
Like, cast. I'm on vacation. You cast that way.
That was the best thing.
Keep at it.
We're out there, and we're out with Frost, and he's like, you can get all the fish out of the net. I'm on vacation, which was funny.
He literally said that on two fish. Yeah,
yeah,
it was
like, somebody going to net that thing? He said, I'm on vacation.
Yeah. So we're out there busting. But, man, the takeaway, I know we're blabbing about that, but the takeaway is there are really good opportunities up here, and there are some pretty big fish. So
yeah.
Pretty big fish.
Pretty big. You got – tell them about that amazing fish you got earlier this week. Come on.
Come on.
Do it.
All right. So never, never, dude, I hate talking about myself. Never in my wildest dreams did I expect it, but we've been working and really focusing in on the bite up here. And what you always hear is there's no big ones left. And a couple days ago, your old buddy Steve caught a 52-incher in Oneida County that it was fatter than a pig. Yeah.
52.
You know, that's 5'2". We measured that fish, and it is a good size fish for up here. That I think that would get around it, you know.
That fish was big.
Yeah.
It really was big.
If you're wondering if there are any big ones left, they're here. And that was on a shocking body of water, not the biggest body of water up here. I genuinely think, and I'm just going to throw it out here, is you guys hear me all the time, everybody's throwing bucktails, everybody's throwing top water. We saw it that day. We saw it that day on the water where it's just like, here come the bucktails in the top water, and there are fish that are not getting presented to, in my opinion. You know, Jim, we were talking today about edge throwers.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that's probably one thing that we're doing that nobody else is really focused on is I haven't thrown it at a bank in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's and you've slowed down and you're covering and you're just thoroughly covering each spot, you know, not run and gun like, you know, I think a lot of us do. Maybe it isn't even run and gun, but you get on a weed line and you just start working up it, trying to find active fish and you've got a different approach, and man, it's just slower in terms of your boat control, and then being in control with the wind and everything. And man, you're on it, and you get us guys in the right spot, and we toss one out, and man, we're catching a bunch of fish, and they're really nice.
We pretty much started that program on day one, that one Thursday where I got that 47-ish one, and then haven't really left the program.
No, that's just the way I run the play and run the boat. And that's one thing we're actually talking about our game plan for the winter and everything. And you guys have been loving the show and the podcast. Obviously, the podcast isn't going to change, but like over the winter, we're going to do some more videos that are more focused in on, you know, less about seeing a catch and the baits, but more about some of the tactics and sort of the methodologies in a video format too to help. But I'll say this, and you guys that listen every week and know what I'm going to say is slow down.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, slow down. Slow down everything. Slow down your presentations. Slow down your boat control. Slow down your brain enough that you can concentrate on a spot. You know, this fish that is I don't like talking about my catches per se, but it's like one of these things, a bunch of people are already up here buzzing about it because it's so big, which is there had been a ton of boats through that spot already, and they were two casts off where that fish was. And so finding a different approach, even in the biggest question we get all the time, what do you do on pressured water? We answer that question on Q&A probably 4 times a month. What do you do on pressured water? Well, slow down, because I'm seeing on pressure water boats just blazing through here, and it's do something different. You know, we were talking about that last week. Do something different. Stand out from the pack. Throw different baits. You know, we've talked to a guy. We were on the boat with a guy that listened to the podcast, and I just told him. He said, "Well, I want to get better at this, and this." And I said, "Take the bucktails out of your box and stop throwing them." You know, it's not that they don't work, but you've got to commit to doing other things. The other thing I would say that has been crazy up here is some of our, like, rubber and jerk bait and alternative presentations, giving them time to marinate. You know, it's just like, we're not out here changing baits all day long. Yeah. That's the other thing is, like, you know, we all struggle with it. Everybody struggles with bait ADD. But man, sometimes if you read the conditions, you've got to give the fish enough opportunity to check things out. You know, where it's there's days, of course, you're looking for a bite, and the deck of the boat looks like a tackle box exploded. But you know, you've got to commit to a presentation a lot of times because you got to base it on your patterning. And I think a lot of these fish and a lot of the big fish that we've seen, there have been boats right there through us, and we were talking about Jay's fish, I think, last week, that there's a boat just went over them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So keep that in mind. Anyway, we're blabbing about ourselves, but yes, big 52 episode coming out. We've been grinding our brains out nonstop. So we're going to jump, right, straight into some Q&A. We'll have a full-blown big extravaganza episode next week. When I get home, I am tired, right? So here we go. Matt says, how do you convince a seasoned bank fisherman to use a net? He said, I've been seeing people on the rivers drag them up on the sides. Ooh. Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do. I would recommend if you see somebody doing that, maybe have a nice conversation. I wouldn't be throwing out their, you know, it is one of those deals where I'm going to go out there and confront somebody. People seem to take that the wrong way. So, mm-hmm.
But maybe, yeah, I mean, I've been there. You know, yeah. You get a low water situation or wherever you're fishing, if it's a river or whatnot, and you're doing some shore fishing, can be very effective, obviously, but that's a lot of gear to bring with you. You're already, if you're musky shore fishing, you're already probably bringing more gear than it's comfortable, and the dragging net along isn't easy, but you should.
Well, and
I mean, if you know, yeah. It's all about safety. Yeah, you're dragging them on the bank, and
I'll tell you that if for anybody that's a shore angler that's looking for a good net, those that
collapsible Stowmaster or something
the
like
Stowmaster.
That.
You know, if you are, I think we've talked about that before with bank fishermen, the Stowmaster, like flip it over. You can actually get a bag. I think it has a shoulder strap to lug that thing around.
Yeah.
But as far as telling other anglers what to do, it won't go well. it won't end well. Kyle, if I want to lay off buckwaters, if I want to lay off bucktails and topwaters, what do I need to do? What are some baits that should be confidence baits? I fish the Wisconsin River in central Wisconsin. Blades are king, but I want to look at some other options. Crankbaits, period. There's your answer. I mean,
okay. I want to look at some other options. Crankbaits, period.
No, I'm just saying, if you want to get away from the blades and the topwater, and don't worry, they work. Blades and topwater work, but you've got to branch out. I think the first step of recovery is crankbaits, in my opinion. I don't know. What do you think, Jay? What do you think, Jim?
What when you're saying crankbaits, like jointed, straight,
any
like
of them. Just
yep.
It could be as simple as if you're fishing a river, maybe like a jointed shallow raider or you know a storm flat stick or something that you're throwing in lieu of blades, you know. And the only reason I say that is just because a lot of guys are really used to throwing a rinse and repeat style, right?
Right.
If you think about why, I get it, and I know there's been more fish caught on bucktails than any other thing, but that's what everybody throws. However, if you look at those two presentations, they're not even presentations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your average guy is going to take a bucktail and a topwater, and he's going to throw it, and he's going to reel it in at one flat speed with no motion the whole way in.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard to get away from, because there's no learning curve. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're not jerkbait fishing. Because if you look at, let's say, like Big Rubber, Suix, I mean, there's only crankbaits. There's only so many things you can do with a rod and reel, right? So many motions. So it's either up, either down, to the side. You know, there's only so many angles you can pull. That's why it just immediately popped in my head that a crankbait is sort of the gateway drug into other things. You know, you get used to...
I hear you, though.
I mean, if I was going to go...
Vary your speed. You can vary... Right. Yeah.
You know, there's some motion. You have to add action.
You're certainly varying the up and down portion of the water column versus you know, a bucktail is generally coming in at
flat
a foot
plane,
and a half you know the whole way,
you know that,
you know, if you start fishing bulldogs and medusas in that river too,
right?
I mean, they put out a lot more noise and vibration than people give it.
Right.
I think that's, you know, when people start thinking about rivers, they're like, this is dark water, I need maximum color, I need maximum vibration.
Flash.
Obviously bucktails do that, that's great, but like you said, Steve, you know, it's kind of one-dimensional at times.
Well, I have no problem. I've caught plenty of fish on both topwater and bucktails. And when I'm even saying topwater, let's cut to the chase, and it's a fat bastard or a top raider. maybe a pacemaker if you're feeling a little esoteric with the, at the store. But that's in general, that's what you see. You know, you see double, single. I mean, the big change up a lot of people are throwing is going from double eights to a single boy. You know, and it's like, it sounds like a broken record, but Jay just hit it. He goes, the bucktail's running a foot or two and a half, you know, 2 feet under the water to bulging, and the topwater's just beating on top of the water. So you're limiting your field of search to the first 3 feet of the water column. You know, that's why I'm beating on that. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything, and I think it's musky anglers. A lot of people, that's their confidence bait because it works. And so they're limiting their catch because they're limiting their field of surge.
Yeah, for sure.
Does that make any sense? Yeah, I mean, yeah, totally. It's just like, that's why I'm beating on it. I mean, trust me, I was throwing a tail prop bait today. I actually threw blades today too, but it's like, when is it appropriate? It's not always appropriate. That's why I'm always pounding on you. You go, everything is situational. And so what's happening, the reason people are not catching fish is because they are waiting for the situation to line up with what they're comfortable with. So if you're a bucktail, if you refuse, you like, let's say there's a guy, we all know it. He throws blades, that's all he throws. He's not going to catch fish on high bright sun, dead flat calms days in general. He's not going to catch fish in a cold front in general. You can always find the outlier. You can always find the guy. Old Timmy Thompson caught a 48-incher on Suckatobin on double tens in a cold front on opener. Okay, that's one dude, right? But if you want to hit that next level and you want to consistently catch trophy-class fish, you're going to have to adapt and read the situational aspects of the game. That's what I'm getting at. You know,
well, so. look at what happened yesterday. We got out on the water, I think around 2 o'clock, wasn't it?
Yeah,
somewhere. Yep.
And we immediately started contacting fish.
Right.
And I think by 2:30, I'd gotten that one. Mm-hmm. We saw some more fish after that. Got cooking. We moved, hit a different spot. Wind's blowing into a weed line. Pete had his position perfectly. Bam, you lost that huge fish. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He didn't lose a fish.
Yeah.
It was, you know, they were nipping a little bit. But this is true every darn time we've gone fishing. It seems like there's this, and we kind of disagree with the actual time frame, but generally between 3 and 6 p.m. up here, every time we've been out in the last 3 weeks has been the golden hour,
has been dinner time.
The dinner bell is getting rung.
Right.
And after 6 o'clock, after 7 o'clock, it kind of slows down. And that happened yesterday. All of a sudden, we weren't seeing stuff. Steve starts experimenting with other stuff. You actually put blades on, had a fish follow, but you determined, I think, I mean, we didn't talk about it, but I remember your reaction was he wasn't going to eat that, and you immediately switched to something different after that.
Yeah.
You were trying to adapt and figure out if there's some way after this this window that was definitely open and active, is there a way you can, you know,
convince one to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we tried.
And like,
it's work.
You know, not to be preachy, but you know what Jay, you're just reiterating is what we're always saying on the podcast is just do something different. But I guess the goal would be to be well rounded.
Yeah.
You know, just the more presentations and the more bait classes you're comfortable with, the more activity, the more things you're going to be able to capitalize on. I mean, Al Frost, we were talking about a minute ago, you know, he says it all the time. It's funny. He says, you know, at a certain point, it's rinse and repeat, and sometimes there's a fish on the end of the line, right? And then it can be as simple as that, but sometimes you have to have the skills at your disposal to capitalize on every opportunity throughout the course of the day. Because like I said, that the midday window we have had has not been on bucktails and topwater.
Mm-hmm.
That's been on big rubber. And if we were like none of us had ever fished big rubber before, we would be in trouble. If we were waiting around, and there are guys that have been doing it up here that are fishing in the Northwoods right now, that are relying on that evening topwater blade bite, and they are getting pounded. and they're not getting pounded by fish in the net. They're getting pounded mentally, and it is grueling. And these guys are walking around with their tails between their legs, because when you limit yourself in your presentations and in the presentation styles you're willing to use, then you're screwed. You're just not going to catch fish under all circumstances. I would guess, heck, just the podcast in general, just the videos we're doing in general, everything we're doing is to help people be a more well-rounded angler. Because if, again, like I said, if Nevis fish rubber, we would have, in 3 weeks, 3 fish in the net. It's fact.
Yeah, for sure. That guy came in.
Yeah. Three fish.
Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just thinking a guy came in a couple days ago. He said he listened to last week's podcast, local guy.
Yeah.
And he was out with his younger son, and he got a bulldog.
Uh-huh.
And your recommendation on fishing plastics. And he listened to the details and applied it, and his son caught his first big muskie.
Yeah.
And he was just elated, and he was, it was just neat hearing the story and hearing that feedback when guys say that it worked for him. You know, that's rewarding to me.
At the risk of trying to mitigate any sound of sounding sanctimonious, I would say, and this is well past that dude's question, but I would say just in general, be able to throw the whole tackle box. It goes to show, and like the summarization of this trip is, be a bait user, don't be a bait owner, which we say all the time, which is like, if the more skills you have at your disposal, the more fish you're going to catch, and when you need them, you got them, because it was like, and I'll pick on Jay just for a second, Jay.
I'm not going to name names on baits, but hang on.
The bait, and we'll talk about it later, you'll see in some videos, but the main bait we've been rocking fish on, Jay had not caught a fish on. And it took a minute to get Jay to commit, because you had just had a recent success on a sand cat with a good fish.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying I'm not learning every time I go fishing.
Right,
that's not a bad thing.
It was just a different thing.
No, but it was also something, you know, Pete Mena said on that classic video from last month.
Right.
Ever start the day
with the same
if you have three guys in the boat, which we did that day,
right,
the three of us throwing the same thing, and it's like not all three of us shouldn't be throwing the same thing.
But when
you start to develop a really hot pattern,
it was
working,
and you bought in, and you know what I'm saying, it was like we talked about, okay, that's the first follow on that bait.
Yeah.
Then it turns into the first strike. Then it turns into Jay Frickin has back-to-back 40s on two consecutive
two casts.
Two casts.
So we're not busting your balls too hard here. I'm just saying, it was just like, I did the same thing in some regards with different baits we've been using, where you go, whoa, okay. Once I get past the pain, I can benefit. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like, so if you're looking at, I want to become a great glide bait fisherman, guess what's going to happen? You're going to whiff a few times, and you're going to waste the Saturday that you have to fish.
And just yesterday, I taught Steve how to use his trolling motor in the bow of the boat. He didn't know the foot switch worked.
Didn't know it worked.
He's like, what is this thing on the floor?
I used to just launch the boat wherever the wind took me.
And just drift. Yeah.
But
Have a good day.
That's just the general thing, man. It's just like, it's none of it's rocket surgery. It's just a matter of taking the time out of your day and going, okay, this is going to suck. Nothing new is cool. Nothing new is fun. I mean, with what we're doing, I whiffed on my first three straight out.
Yeah.
And came back with just teeth marks and rubber and going,
Another bottom line is fishing with people you've never fished with before. I fished with Jim a few times.
Right.
We never have made the time that often. And, of course, you live in Tennessee, Steve.
Right.
It's like, it's not like we fish together.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to fish with Pete Mena. Well, we did that yesterday. Right. Scratched that one off. Fished with some of the guides in the shop. I mean, everybody's got a different approach, you know, a different skill set, mindset.
Yep.
All the above. It's cool.
Steal from everybody. That is absolutely the best way to do it. That's what we've been. Well, you know what? We're having fun gabbing about all kinds of stuff. Anyway, let's do one more question, then we'll wrap them up here, because I have to get up in the morning and do this again, and we'll get back to our normal ridiculous. I'm trying to find one.
Stevie, sleepy.
Oh, I'm wore out, buddy.
Listen, as he's searching yeah. for a question there, last night we're driving home. It's pretty late.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. he says, this is Steven, says, I'm going to regret saying this, but should we start earlier tomorrow?
you said, busted out laughing. Yeah, we were talking about that bite window. It's like, yeah. hey, if we're getting on the water at 2 or 3, maybe we should start a little earlier.
Yeah, it was a waste of time is what it was.
Yeah, we can get that work done at the shop later, Jim, you know.
Like, there's a freaking
wait till Monday.
4-footer came rolling at 3:15. I was like, I missed 2 hours of sleep for this, you know, because it was like right on cue. So that's been the bite window. Anyway, you guys can tell out there in podcast land we've been having fun and gabbing here. Anyway, one more question. Nathan. Hey, guys, love the podcast. Meow.
Meow.
Got me's a question. The last few times I've been out on the water, I've been seeing bait fish coming to the surface in groups and freaking out.
Ooh.
This has happened quite regularly, very frequently, in fact. All across the lake all day long. I've tried jigging near them, tried yo-yoing a rattle trap near them, casting deep, mid, and on top, but no luck. Wondering if these fish are being fed on or just being dumb. Have you guys ran into this situation? I didn't cherry pick that question.
No.
Literally, we were talking about that. That's funny. We've seen that in a bunch of places we've gone where there is surface activity. Okay.
Not a lot, but when it happens, it usually means something.
What I'll say is this: what I'm looking for when it comes to like bait fish. Freaking out might mean they're feeding and they're popping, but when I see a group of them surge up, whoo, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You'll see multiple ones. That means they're being schooled, and that means something is actively predating. That can always be a walleye. That can always be smallmouth, largemouth doing that, right?
Sure,
and
could
so
be.
You want to focus on those packs as well, but I'll tell you, the trick often at times is looking for the predators who are keening in on those other predators. Like Jay was talking about that lynchum. Whatever was blowing bait fish out was not eating bait fish. It was eating something else. So you can try a little shock and awe in that scenario. Throwing around those open water, if they're shoreline, a little bit different, but those open water schools, make sure you're getting under them. I know you said you're jigging under them. Maybe not. That wouldn't be my like preferred tactic because now you're bottom bouncing for fish that are breaking on the surface. But going to those big gliders, going to big rubber, ripping a bulldog through there, or mm-hmm. something that's sort of moving water with a pause, would be my go-to on those open water fish. Again, like I said, not every scenario will there be a muskie right there, right? You got to sort of look at it in that sense that there are other predators in the water. They might not be as great as a muskie, but you know, you might be throwing in a area where a muskie's not actively feeding because the other predators are feeding. You know what I'm saying? If you see mm-hmm. activity levels where it's like, you know, I've been saying for the last 2 days because it's been sort of cold, fronty, and weird. You know, I catch a northern pike off a muskie spot, I'm a little bit sketched out, going, ugh. You know, but if you're seeing like smallies or something like that schooling fish, consider that in some regard, but a lot of times look further out and away from them on that next break. What do you think, Jay?
Well, we were talking. I asked Pete about that yesterday when we were uh-huh. chit-chatting, and I know you had said you've seen it happen a few times. I've seen that happen a few times now, and I can't tell you how many times I've thrown to, you know, activity, you know, right. out of at least the corner of your eye, you heard something,
right. yeah.
or you see the water breaking, you know, mm-hmm. bait fish, something scattering, like you said. In those cases, it's usually obvious when they're getting predated, you know,
right.
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Pete said he has not seen that happen often where you actually catch the muskie doing that.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often, but absolutely pursue it. I mean,
yeah.
Try
some shock and awe. I mean, funny thing, today we had a howling wind and it was so funny. Jay didn't even have a chance to tell you this. Me and Jim had a freak out moment today
mm-hmm.
where we were getting blown into the shore with an easy 25 mile an hour wind. So the boat's going towards the shore. I'm throwing. I actually hook up with a fish, but I shouldn't even say hook up. I have a fish on that doesn't have steel buried in it because it was running at the boat and the boat's going towards the fish and I was reeling my brains out, right? I had pressure, but I could never get a set on him because it was just, he was scorching towards me. We're moving towards him at a pretty good clip. And I'm trying to catch up and trying to hammer him. And guess nothing buried in. I go, crap, he's gone. It just he just went away because he would just let go of the bait. What, 10 seconds later, he blasted a bait fish. Yep. I mean, I woke him up, and he comes up, and he just heard, kerjunk!
Yeah.
And the surface rips. You saw the whole fish, probably 36, 37, you know, nothing to write home about, but it was awesome to see because he sort of woke up and said, well, I missed that. I'm going to smash something. So yeah. that was cool. Funny. Yeah, it's sort of the reverse of that. But, yeah, open water fishing can be interesting in that fact. And like I said, to be honest with you, look to the outer areas. That's usually where I've done well in that because throwing to the actual bait busting or the actual schooling of fish has not done me a great deal of good. But keying in on those areas outside of that, because muskies will often play doorman to where there's a party.
Yeah.
Right? There's a bouncer.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, you might be having fun in that bay, buddy, you smallmouth. But when you try to leave here, I'm going to eat you and whatever you just ate.
Yep.
So look at those areas. Consider those activity areas and go, well, if that's in a back bay or if it's open water, search around that open water. Wait for those muskies that are going, all right, I see you're in there acting like a fool, Mr. Walleye. Have fun. But when you cross this break line, when you cross this threshold, I'm coming for you. So that would be something to pay attention to. I am so tired. I don't even know my last name. Jay, any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts with Jim and Steve by Jay. Number one, it's been a great week. Mm. I'm sorry I couldn't be on the water with you guys today.
Uh-huh.
I had family obligations. My family's up and...
Family comes first.
We had quite the party today.
Today was Jay's
family comes first.
Incredible.
Yep.
But tomorrow's the last day. Tomorrow is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast is a day late. Mm-hmm. We apologize.
Oh, well.
But oh, well. Tomorrow's the last day. Are we going out tomorrow, Steve?
Going out, baby.
Are we going out, Jim?
We're going out, man.
Bingo, baby.
Bingo. More on that later. Episode 10.
Later, guys. Bye.